You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.
If you have your Bibles this morning, go ahead and start opening to the book of Genesis. You don't have to turn very far. We're in a sermon series called The Truth About You. This will be the third sermon in that series. I have three grand boys, as you know. A granddaughter on the way will be here right before Christmas. There's just nothing like being a grandparent. Just never knew it could be so rewarding. It was just something awesome about watching your son hold his son for the first time and knowing that his son was your grandson. You've all met, most of you, my first grandson. His name is Crider. You don't have to be around Crider very long until you'll understand he has a fascination with toys. He always has. Now, I'm sure some people would blame his fascination with toys on his grandparents, Grammy and Pappy, Katie's mom and dad. Amen? I mean, Crider is so into toys that when we plan to go to Disney as a family, we have to have a special budget. It's called the Toy of the Day budget. Crider initiated that. He loves toys. I remember when he was really, really small and he first started exploring, we turned him loose in what's called our game room, our toy room, so to speak. And it didn't take him long to bypass those little things on the floor that were his toys. And he was crawling over to these cabinets where there were glass shelves with glass doors. And when he got big enough, he would pull himself up to those doors, put his little eyes and his little mouth on that glass, and he would literally salivate over my toys. As Crider began to walk and as he began to talk, pretty soon the question in our house when we would all be in the game room is, when would Papa open the glass doors and let Crider play with the toy tractors and the toy combines and the toy agricultural semis? Well, everyone knew that Papa probably wouldn't let him, but we were all worried about Mimish. I had to give strict instructions to Mimish because as Crider grew up with his fascination with toys, he just couldn't get over why you would have a toy on a shelf with other toys, and there'd be a door that you could actually see the toys sitting there, but not be able to play with the toys. See, Crider didn't understand that toys to Papa are valuable. They're valuable according to their design, and most of the toys behind those glass shelves were not designed to be played with, but they were designed to be collected. And the less that toy is touched, the more rare and valuable that toy becomes. I understood that. I love toy collecting. Crider, on the other hand, those toys have no value to him at all. Even at 6, the value of a toy to Crider is the joy it brings you, not by looking at it, but by playing with it. See, when Crider and Papa go shopping for toys, we're coming at it from two different perspectives. Crider's buying toys that were designed to be played with. I am buying toys that were designed to be looked at and appreciated in value on. This morning, as we open to Genesis, we're going to learn the truth about you. And here's what I want you to realize. You have been designed to live. So you should learn to live as you were designed. We've been created in the image of God. We were designed to live an abundant life. I pray you and I learn to live as we were designed. Now, I want to be open and honest. In the community in which you and I live, the Christian worldview is not the only worldview. There is another worldview that's going to completely disagree with just about everything I say this morning. For we're going to open up to the book of Genesis and see that during creation week, God created man. Those of us who have a different worldview and believe in what's called evolution would believe this, that as man evolved, man created God. That's not what we believe. We believe God is creator, and as creator, he created us. If you have your Bibles this morning, stand, and we're going to look at several passages in the first five chapters of the book of Genesis. There were many places we could have went this morning as the foundational basis of the truth about you. King David believed he was fearfully and awesomely made, knitted together in his mother's womb, and that every day of his life had already been planned, and those days had been written in a book. Jeremiah believed that before he was even born, God knew him. And even before his birth, before God put him together in the womb, God had already set him apart for a specific purpose. Paul, probably one of the most intellectual you and I could ever read, would believe that before he was born, when he was still in his mother's womb, he had been set apart by God for the gospel and actually been called to preach the gospel. Wow. None of these men believe they evolved and then created God. Each of them believed they were a special creation of God, and they had been created in God's own image. This morning, before we do much application, I want us to do observation and interpretation. I ask you to listen with fresh ears as we go back to the drawing board. I believe many of you would agree with me that something's gone wrong. Amen. And something continues to go wrong. Now, in just about every other aspect of our life, when things get to a point that they just don't seem to be working out the way they were intended to work out, we use that expression, maybe we need to get back to the drawing board. And what that means is we need to go back to the very beginning of whatever and just really try to figure out what the purpose was, how this thing was designed, and what went wrong. That's what we're going to begin to do this morning. We're going to go back to the drawing board, and I believe the drawing board is clearly Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Listen to what Moses wrote. Genesis 1, 26 through 30. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heaven and over the livestock and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the heaven, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of the earth and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food. And to every beast of the earth and to every bird of the heavens and everything that creeps on the earth, everything that has the breath of life, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. Now go to Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord formed man out of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living creature. Verse 18, then the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him. And out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock, to the birds of the heavens, and to every beast of the field. And for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her into a man. And the man said, listen to this, this at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Now let's turn over to the fifth chapter, verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female, he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. When Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Father, we come before you this morning just so thankful for this opportunity to gather in your house and to share the truth about us with this congregation. Father, we come humbly before you, asking you to give us the ability as the pastor teacher to just help us observe what Scripture is teaching. And then let our interpretation of it not be misinterpretation, but correct interpretation. Because so much hangs on the truth of us understanding that we have been created in your image. Father, we ask now that you open our minds to the truth of your word. Do not let anything feeble in my presentations cause us to yawn at the marvel of what you did in the first creation account we have in Scripture. Father, we thank you and we praise you now for the anointing you're going to give us to hear and to speak. And it's in your precious Son's name we pray. Amen. You may be seated, but listen, keep your Bibles open. Don't close your Bibles this morning. Last week, we shared a principle with you that we believe with all of our heart, and that God has perfectly revealed himself both in the facts of nature and in what we call the Bible. Therefore, when both are interpreted correctly, they will never contradict each other. So if there's ever a seemingly contradiction between the Word of God and the work of God in nature, someone, either the scientist or the theologian, has misinterpreted God's word. Now, I think it's clear as we read the first creation account of the Bible that here's what the Bible's going to teach, big picture. When we're first introduced to the earth, it's not habitable. But by the time the creation account ends with God resting, we have an earth that is fully habitable, and there's life on this planet. And man is the crown and the glory of God's creation. I mean, man, I don't know about you, but it just looks like everything God's doing during the creation account in Genesis 1 is to get this planet ready for life. Not just ordinary life, but special life. Special life that will be like him and represent him in his creation and to his shared this briefly last week. Man, I wish we had time. We could do a month of sermons on how now scientists, as they look through their powerful telescopes and they look more deeply into those powerful microscopes that they have, and as they develop more sophisticated computers to process the information that we have, it's beginning to look like nature is telling us that this universe that we peer out into, that is so large that David would say, man, what is man that you're mindful of him when you've done what you've done with the work of your fingers? You know what we're beginning to discover? That it looks like nature is telling us that there are many, 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 many things in the universe and on the earth that are so fine-tuned that it looks like they were fine-tuned for a reason. And that reason is so that there could be life on one planet among the hundreds and millions of galaxies in our universe. But you know what I've just discovered? Facts of nature are beginning to say that it looks like if you look at nature, that life was designed for life on this planet. This planet was designed for life, but that this life, this planet, it's only going to be a short period of time. It actually looks like nature is telling us there's a day that's going to come when nature is literally going to come apart, and as the universe continues to expand at the rate it does, pretty soon there will not be life on this planet. Now that scares a lot of folks. But that's exactly what the Bible says. That God never intended for man to live here forever. But God ultimately intended for us to live with him on a new heaven and on a new earth forever and ever and ever. You guys ready? I don't want to offend anybody with this statement, but to me, when I read the creation account, the first one, it kind of starts off slow. And I know when I get to the end of the chapter, it's going to say that it's very good, but if I can just be honest with you, when it starts out, it's not very good. Agreed? Now you got to understand that this is being written from the perspective of life on the planet. And the first thing we see is, wow, this earth isn't fit for life on the planet, but there's hope. The Spirit of God is hovering over the waters of the deep. Now remember, in creation week, God's preparing a home for man. And he's getting it ready. Ran into somebody yesterday afternoon who attends this church and asked him what he'd been doing. He said, I'm framing a house. Well, you know what we use houses for. Houses, those are physical structures that allowed us to create homes for our families. And that's what God's doing. And the first thing that God said and notices is that, wow, if we're going to have life on this planet, we got to have more light. And God speaks. And wow, all of a sudden, there's light. For the first time, light shining on the planet. Then God begins to move some waters around. And the next thing you know, as he moves these waters around, all of a sudden, dry land appears. And when dry land appears, God says, it is good. And then the next thing you know, plant life begins. Now, again, looking at from man's perspective, this is plants that you and I can see. And God begins to order plant life according to its own kind. That's important. And man, the next thing you know, we got more light. If you and I had been there, we could actually, from the earth, looked up into the sky, and we'd seen a big old light in the day, and at night, we'd seen a big old light. And then for the first time, from the planet's perspective, you'd be able to look out into what you and I call space, and wow! Against that backdrop of night, there were literally lights all over the place. What does God say? Man, it's good. And then the next thing you know, we've got waters. We've got air, atmosphere, heavens. We've got land. And God says, man, let's let the waters begin to swarm with living creatures after their own kind. And he begins to say, let's let there be birds in the heavens after their own kind. And it's good. And then, see what he's doing? He's creating. And then we're next introduced to three kinds of land animals. And again, just like the things in the sea, just like the things in the air, what you and I call the animal kingdom, they're blessed by God, they're made fertile, and they multiply, and they fill the oceans, they fill the waters, they fill the sky, they fill the earth after their own kind. Each time God speaks, wow, something happens. I mean, you can't read this account of creation without coming away with the view that the writer of Genesis believed there is a creator and he is God. And when he speaks, it happens. And then now, look at verse 26. Because God's going to speak again. You know, up until this point, we don't know that much about God as creator other than when he speaks, it happens. But now God said, let us make man in our image. Whoa. Did you catch that? There's a change. God didn't just speak and it happened. God now speaks to someone. And he says, let us. A plurality. Make. Man, a singularity, in our, a plurality, image. Whoa. Did you catch that? And then he says, let's let them, whoa. I thought he created a singularity, man. But now he speaks of the singularity as a plurality, them. And he gives them, in their singularity, dominion. And if you read it, the animal kingdom, we would call it. And then look at verse 27. So, God created man in his image. In his image, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Boy, do you see this language? See, here's what Corey told us the first sermon. Because see, we didn't start with man. We started with God, because here's what Corey said. To know us, we got to know God. And now we're getting a glimpse of God. A plurality, yet a singularity. Notice how the writer uses those plural and singular nouns. There's something so awesome in God that there's a plurality, but yet in his essence, he is one. And so when he creates man, he creates him as a singularity, man. But yet when you examine the singularity that bears his image, there's a plurality. Male and female. Is that awesome or is that awesome? If you look at the language on this or in this moment of time, God is creating something brand new. But yet he's using materials that are already there. And all of a sudden we see God, who's been creating life, but he's creating life with the ability to create after or to reproduce after its own kind. And you expect God to say, let there be man after its own kind. Not what he says. All of a sudden in this language, you begin to realize that, whoa, we got to stop here just for a moment, because here's what the Bible's teaching. And here's our Christian world view. God is creating. And as he's creating, he's not creating something after its own kind. He's creating something after his kind. And then verse 28, God's going to speak again. But notice this. God blesses them. Blesses who? He blesses the male and the female. He blesses them in their oneness, and if I can say this, and please hang around a few weeks, he blesses them in their sameness. Because see, we're going to learn there is a sense in which they are different, and in their difference, there can be oneness, but we're also going to understand that there's something about them that's the same. What's the sameness? They both are created in the image of God. And yet, in both being created in the image of God, as an image bearer of God, there is a distinctiveness in their persons. And if Corey was correct, for us to know us, we've got to know him. When we finish our study of the Bible, if we're really doing our study correctly, we're not reading our Bible to know more about us. We're reading our Bible to know more about God. And the more we know about God, the more we can know God. And as we know God, what ultimately doing, we're looking in the mirror and seeing us. Look what the Bible says. God blessed them. And for the first time in the creation story, God said to them. It's the first time this happens. See, up until this point, you could have just got this idea that God's an impersonal God. No emotion, no thought. He just speaks. It happens. He moves on. No. He's now created a being who's going to bear his image. And so God said to them, he communicates with them. He's able to talk to them. They're able to hear him. And all of a sudden we get this picture of a personal God who's going to communicate who he is and what he wills to his creation. Mankind, not just the man, but the female as well. Yes, in our individuality, we mirror the image of God, but also in our togetherness, because God has designed us like Him to be relational, we bear His image. And here's what He said. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the animal kingdom. And just know I've given you everything you need to eat. And all of a sudden we began to realize that, whoa, He did what He did at an earlier time with the plant life and the animal life to sustain man while He subdues the planet, while He's fruitful and He multiplies and He fills the earth. Wow. Now, before we go into these individually, you get this picture, right? Something went wrong. Something went wrong. Now, we're going to learn what went wrong. What went wrong was something called sin. Now, I want to share with you, if you're new to the church, this is one of your first times to hear Christian preaching, you're coming under what we call the gospel, you're checking us out in the church, please know this, there is a problem. But we have hope. The problem is sin, but the hope is a man who bears the exact image of God because He is God. And His name's Jesus. And if you'll hang with us, we're going to tell you a lot about Him, because to really know the truth about you, you've got to know about Him. See, I don't want this to shock anybody. I want you to be prepared for this. If you don't want to hear this, put your hands in your ears. But what we're going to learn in the truth about us is this. We are sexual creatures. God said, be fruitful. What that means is recognize, man, I created you different for a reason, and man, you are a sexual creature. And boy, we're going to learn that man didn't handle being a sexual creature very well once he made the choice to live on his own rather than to follow the law of God. Amen. I mean, just right there in the beginning of Genesis, we see man being exploited in his sexuality. Yeah. The Bible should be leading the way in teaching us about us being sexual beings. Your children should not learn that from someone else. Your children should learn that from you. And even at a young age, there is going to be a curiosity to where our children do not need to be slapped on their hands until they get older, but we begin to recognize that they have been designed by God. While the world goes to sameness, you'll never convince a child that he, a boy, is the same as his sister. He knows he's different. And vice versa. Listen, God says, multiply. Now, I want to make a statement that I want every one of you to hear. Please, if you've been nodding off, come back with me. When the Bible says, be who I've made you, be a sexual being, He tells us the result of us being a sexual being is we should what? Multiply. He's telling Adam and Eve, multiply. And here's what I believe. Here's what He's saying. I want you to make more of me by making more of you. Did you catch that? You didn't catch that. What He's telling the first couple is this. Make more of me by making more of you. God wants the union of us being sexual beings in the context of a husband and wife relationship to produce other us's. Because it's us's who mirror and bear the image of God. And look what he says. And fill the earth. We struggled with that one too. You realize that, right? I don't know what it is about mankind, but mankind just didn't want to go where no man had ever been before. Just wanted to kind of hang around in the same geographic location, and God had to step in and help men get back on the right track. And not just fill the world where God created man, but to fill the earth in its entirety. With what? Image bearers of himself. You getting this picture? God created an earth to put man so that ultimately man would do what God told him to do. And you can't do what God told you to do unless you are who God teaches you you are. Because you see, your doing flows from your being. And once you understand your being, that you've been created in the image of God, you will then be able to do what God commands us to do. Because what God ultimately wants is the earth filled with mankind. Why? Because he wants the whole earth. Not just have the glory of nature, but the glory of mankind. As he represents God and as he's like God. So we're to fill the earth. I don't know about you, but we just don't like images of God. Amen. We're now living in a society where all of us want to get away from image bearers and go somewhere on the planet where there is nobody because we're sick and tired. Of man. Something's went wrong. Many of us who live in this area, when those college students come back to Murray State, we gripe about our roads with all those image bearers of God running around Murray with streets that are not designed. Agreed? Something's going wrong. See, it seems like in the church, all of us in the church want to move to where there are no people instead of wanting to move where there are people who do not know God. We want to move to a place where it can just be us and God, and yet creation count says that was never God's intention. God's intention was for us to take seriously the responsibility of filling the earth. And then he said we'd subdue it. This is a really, really strong word. As we research more and more into the etymology of words, some Hebrew scholars are beginning to believe that what God is teaching here to the first couple is that as you are sexual, and as you produce more of me by producing more of you, and you fill the earth, I want you to realize this. I took nothing and created everything. You're made like me. So this planet that you walk on, this planet that you relate with, please understand this. I have given you the earth to harness its potential so that you can live an abundant life here. So here's what we should expect. We should expect that if man was really created in the image of God, civilization should always say this, that man's creative, that man's an inventor. That man just can't leave things alone. He looks at something that God made out of nothing and sees potential in that. And when he begins to do that, he's just doing what comes supernatural to him. and that's mirror the image of God. Have you ever noticed what Genesis records? On that side of the human tree that was ungodly, the Bible stops to tell us about the contributions of three people: Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal. Sound like a modern mom. Amen. All got to start with the same letter. They've all got to rhyme. You know what we're talking about, right? We work on that for the whole 9 months. See, what does Genesis teach early? That early, I mean, at the beginning of human civilization, what do we have? We have man using agricultural means for his advancement. We see man creating art and music in the very beginning. And we see man taking the bronze and the precious metals, the precious things of nature, and he begins to make them into instruments. He begins to invent tools. It's kind of amazing. When the scientist looks at the fossil record and he looks at archaeology, and they began to see civilization. Do you know when they can really say, here's when humans came? The moment humans came, we have agriculture, we have tools, and we have art, and we have the worship of God, which is a given. Wow. You with me? Now, don't want you to misunderstand this. Whoa, I'm already 2 minutes over. Got to say this, though. Don't get the idea from Genesis 1 that God created male and female at the same time. He didn't. That's what Genesis 2 is all about. Genesis 2 is going to actually tell us that God, sorry ladies, created the man first. Planted a special garden for us. Give us what we've always wanted, a home. Give us a job. Gave us hobbies. And we got busy. Adam did, bearing God's image, lifing out his design. Now, you'd kind of think here that if man is mirroring the image of God, I mean, Genesis 1 told us that God created the animals from dirt, just said he created man in his own image. You're kind of expecting something special, right? I mean, like maybe he takes something out of heaven. Maybe he takes something out of himself. Not what he did. You know what he did? Talking about bursting our pride. He just took some dust. Yeah. That had to be humbling to Adam. Amen. And then all of a sudden, Bible steps in and God says it's not good. See, Scripture didn't say what Brother Ricky said in the beginning, it wasn't good. All the way through this process, God says it's good because he's creating. And he's created man. But we know there's got to be a female, but there's not a female. So now Scripture's going to say, it's not good. What's not good? It's not good that man should be alone. No. Yes, man can relate to God. Yes, man can relate to his environment. But God knows, just as he exists as Father, Son, and Spirit, and there's a relationship based on essence and based on person. We need that too. So you know what he does? I mean, he didn't reach for another speck of dust. He actually put the man to sleep. Took one of his ribs, closed up flesh, and from that rib made a woman. An Isha. A woman. I always have to say this. I know I've said it 100 times to you, but I heard Tony Evans say this years ago. Can God do ribs or can God do ribs? Amen. God can do ribs. Amen. I just like to believe that there was times in the relationship together because Adam suddenly realizes at last, bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. I'm going to call you woman. I'm going to call you Isha, for you were taken from Ish. I just have to believe that there was times that he'd look at her and affectionately say, bony. And she'd affectionately look at him and say, clod. So I can see it on their mailbox outside of the garden. Bony and clod. Amen. Our parents, in a relationship of togetherness, in a relationship of oneness, equal in person. Hey guys, you got to know how revolutionary this is. If you go back to any other ancient creation account, yes, there's the picturing of man in the image of God, but the man who's pictured in the image of God is always the king, the royal. Never the ordinary. Never the common. Never the multitude. Just him. And never did ancient people outside of those who believed the revelation of God did they ever place women on equal footing with men. You hear what this is saying? God created you a man, and he created your wife a woman, and you are equal in your essence. You are a being who mirrors the very image of God. You're not superior to her, and she's not inferior to you. Together, we bear the image of God. If you're a single person, you as an individual bear the image of God. There's nothing lost in your life if you remain in singleness. God has a purpose and plan for you, just like he does for those couples who live together in marriage. Quickly and in closing. You say, brother, you ain't told us what it means to be made in the image of God. Well, creation account doesn't tell us. Amen? See, you want a list. The Bible just doesn't do it that way. Here's what the Bible teaches with image and likeness of God. Those two words are not different. I mean, they're different words, but they're synonyms. They convey the same thought. They're put together to intensify this picture. You and I are the image of God, and we've been created to image God. We are God's representatives, and we're here to represent him. How do we represent him? We represent him because we are made in his image. All the ways that we are like him, that's what it means to be made in the image of God. So the more you know about him and the more you know about you, the more you realize you are the image bearer of God. And you as a female, you bear the image of God in your unique design of being a female. So don't ever want to be a man. Don't ever want to be like a man. Only desire to be like God. And for you men, you don't desire to be like a woman. You don't desire to be like your wife. You desire to be like God. And in me as a man and Slisa as a female, both desiring to be like God in our togetherness and in our individuality, we mirror God. Oh, you're saying, but Brother Ricky, if we could just see him. Oh, we have. Because you know what we really needed all along? We needed a perfect man. And God sent that perfect man. His name is Jesus. And in Jesus, we see man as man was intended to be, fully functioning as an image bearer of God. You got to get out of here. I got to hush. Please know the truth about you. You are created in the image of God. We'll learn application throughout this series in the truth about you.
You're listening to audio from Hardin Baptist Church. For more audio content or other information about our church, please visit hardinbaptist.org.